podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Joe and joining me to look at the key team developments and manager quotes ahead of game week 13 is Neil. Neil, welcome. How are you?
Not so bad, Joe. Thank you. How are you?
Yes, good. Yes, it's good to be back in the team news hot seat as well. While Az is, I don't know, perhaps he's at another wedding. He always seems to be at weddings on Fridays, but people, you know, going to run out of marriages.
Work shy.
Or work shy, indeed. Just before we move on to the team news, just want to welcome all of those wonderful people that have joined us in the live chat. That includes Thomas, Gary, Eric, Colm, Gary, Just a Dad Posting Stuff, that's his full name, Radha, Bongo Bongo, an FPL Prem tipster. It's not team news without Bongo Bongo in the live chat. Thanks so much for joining us. Lots of you, hundreds of you. Just 43 likes so far. So if you do like us, do press like. And if you don't like us, just press it anyway, because it's something fabulous and algorithm-y that's way beyond myself and Neil that will help us. So let's move on with the team news. That's why you're here. And we're going to start with Chelsea. Ben Chilwell limped off midweek. A lot of reports have feared the worst. What is the latest about Chilwell and the rest of the Chelsea troops ahead of Manchester United's visit to Stamford Bridge? Yes, Chelsea.
Yeah, maybe not quite as bad as what we were fearing. The media consensus seemed to be that he was going to be out for 6 to 9 months or something around that time frame with ACL damage. It is his ACL, but Tuchel was saying that it's just a partial injury. So what the plan is now is to leave it 6 weeks. So he's definitely out for 6 weeks. So that'll take him to around about mid-January in terms of a comeback date. And then assess where he is at that point. So it'll either be he's all right, he's fit to come back, or he's going to need surgery, and that probably will end his season.
Right, yeah.
You can't start planning for life without him, of course, because 6 weeks, especially at this time of year, is going to see, what, that's like 10 week game weeks or something like that. So a long, long time. But yeah, we'll see whether he's able to come back in January. Okay. As for the rest, Kovacic is still out. Kante sounds like he's going to be out as well. Not 100% ruled out, but I think Tuchel said it was probably going to need a miracle for him to recover for this. It's just days, a maximum of 1 week, but this one will probably come too soon. I think that's it in terms of flag players. There was nothing on Havertz, who's got a 75% flag on him.
Okay.
That was precautionary, I think, the omission in midweek. Lukaku was mentioned,
yes,
who isn't flagged, but who hasn't actually played a minute since he came back from injury. He was on the bench in the Champions League, which is enough to warrant a flag removal in FPL.
Ooh.
But not quite ready to start yet. His manager was saying that today in the press conference, that the player himself, if you asked him, would say he's ready, but there's a big difference between ready to train and ready to start games, especially in the Premier League. So not quite ready for Lukaku to start this one.
I mean, I would imagine most Lukaku owners are no longer Lukaku owners. They've moved on to, say, for Kane or Ronaldo, or they've moved funds elsewhere. But it sounds like with Chilwell, I'm a Chilwell owner. I'm no longer a Chilwell owner because 6 weeks, as you said, that's 10 weeks. It's a sell. And it doesn't look too promising for the rest of the season. But yeah, it's a sell. Reassess in a few weeks' time there. If you don't have Cancelo, Alexander-Arnold or Reece James, I would imagine they would be the absolute top priorities to go in. Reece James is fine, just before we move on.
Yeah, but no word to suggest otherwise. The only thing you would say is that he's played consecutive 90-minute rounds and they've got 3 games in a week coming up.
Okay. Rightio, yes. Okay. Not that I've just brought him in. Let's move on. Let's just rattle through the rest of the fixtures there. So let's start with Arsenal against Newcastle. That is the Sunday kickoff at Arsenal. I like this quote from Arteta because it's just nothing. No news, he says, Arteta. So is that right? There is no news from Arsenal?
This was yesterday, and it was yesterday morning, so we will have had 2 days of training before Arsenal take to the field against Newcastle. But as at the time of writing, if we're taking his word for it, no injury news, apart from the fact that Xhaka and Kolasinac are out. They were long-term ones anyway. So everyone else is fine.
Righty-o. Newcastle.
Pretty good, actually. Pretty similar. Dummett is the only one out. Again, he's a long-term one. Gale's going to be assessed for a hamstring tweak, but he is a backup striker at best anyway. So all the big guns, if you can call them that, from Newcastle, are fit and firing by the sounds of it.
I just want to help out Tobo Pat in the chat. He says, are they muted? Everyone is telling us we're not muted, but it sounds like you've muted us. So can you stop muting us? Thank you very much. And we can carry on. Now, I've got a bit of, every time it's weird when I see a picture of Steven Gerrard, it's just so intrinsically Liverpool to me. But nevertheless, he is in a tweak because he is the Villa manager now. So, Steven Gerrard, Villa, what has he been saying ahead of their visits to Palace?
Sports Social, now on the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is Pedro from the Arsenal Opinion Podcast, and I am hyped about the title running. Can Arsenal pit Pep and Klopp? Will our young squad be described as mentality monsters? Is Mikel Arteta truly a generational saucy manager? Come and join us on the Arsenal Opinion Podcast to follow the boys on this historic 2024 Premier League title run-in and hear analysis of the games, the hottest transfer rumours, the Arsenal culture and the business of football 3 times a week exclusively on the Sports Social Podcast Network. Search the Arsenal Opinion now and come and join the fun.
Yeah, this was this morning. Injury news-wise, we know that Traore is out. It's going to be a few weeks still. Trezeguet is back in training, but another week of training for him. And then after that, it's under 23's duty. Everyone else is fine. So Douglas Luiz is back in the squad. Many people's sort of budget bench fodder option of choice.
Great.
And was there another one who got the all clear? Morgan Sanson, but he'd already been back on the bench last week. So, just those two aforementioned players. I guess the question is whether he sticks with Ings up top or plays Watkins through the middle, because Ings was one of the few who disappointed last weekend.
Okay, and for Palace as well. Now, I've personally got 2 free transfers. I've got a certain player that we'll mention a bit later who's injured in my team. I've just gone in for Gallagher. Is he? Tell me he's okay.
Well, he seems to be.
Good.
And Vieira says in his press conference at lunchtime that the only absentee is MacArthur, who was of course not available last weekend. Ferguson, the fabled Nathan Ferguson, this mystical creature who we haven't seen in action for best part of 2 seasons, is back in training, but obviously there's a long way to go between back in training and playing competitive minutes.
But otherwise,
looking good.
It reminds me of Shane Ferguson, another mythical Ferguson for Newcastle. Yeah. Who was a 4.0 midfielder.
He was, yeah.
The only one I can ever remember in about 12 years of playing. Well done, Ferguson's, for not being a myth. Let's move on to Liverpool. Now, quite a few Jota owners or people coveting Jota at the moment. What has Klopp been saying ahead of Southampton's visit?
Yeah, nothing specific in terms of names on the team news front, but he did say that everyone who was involved at Porto, against Porto on Wednesday, would be involved this weekend. So that includes Jota. He was on the bench. He didn't play. Mm-hmm. He picked up a knock to his knee last weekend, as we saw. He still carried on, I think, for 10, 15 minutes after that. But appeared to go straight down the tunnel. And that was mentioned after the game in Klopp's presser. But he was on the bench. He's fit enough to be on the bench in midweek. No reason to suggest he won't feature this weekend. So we assume that means that the usual group are still out, and that's Firmino, Gomez, Jones, and somebody else. Okay. I can't remember. Firmino is a big one, of course, from a Jota perspective, because we need him to be out for Jota to maximise his chances of game time. And a rest in midweek, it's actually turned out to be pretty good, because that will surely heighten his chances of a start this weekend.
Okay, yeah. So Robertson as well.
Yes,
should be fit, because there may be a few Robertson owners out there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Robertson was one of the few. Milner as well came back in midweek. Origi. So they got a few names back on Wednesday. Robertson was asked. He was asked about Robertson in his press conference, Klopp, about Tsimikas's form, but pretty much nailed his colour to the mast and said that Robertson was his first choice, that you can't undo all those years of good work with a couple of bad displays, which I think is fair to say he has had, or certainly under par for him this season. But he's fit. He came off the bench to get a few minutes, and I expect him back in the team this weekend.
Good to hear. That will be useful for when a few weeks down the line, African Nations Cup, Liverpool will be slightly depleted. There will be some Liverpool places in our teams up for grabs. So the double Liverpool defence could become a thing around there. Yeah. But that's just a bit of future gazing. On with the team news for game week 13. Norwich against Wolves. Another picture of a manager that I usually associate with another team. It's Dean Smith, who I think, have I got the wrong picture? Am I've got Villa again? No, he is now obviously moved. Now the Norwich manager. So, against Wolves, how are Norwich shaping up for that?
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Again, another team with a relatively clean bill of health. Zimmerman, who was already ruled out, and Sam Byram, who's working on match fitness after I think 2 years out. They're the only ones who are unavailable. Dowell's back in training, and Kabak's fine. He just wasn't included last weekend because of tactical reasons.
Okay, so that's so of interest, mainly because people might have some Wolves attacking assets in their team. So, how are Wolves shaping up?
I think all in terms of the attacking assets, the long-term ones we already know, but Bolly seems to be the fresh addition to the injury list this week, but he wasn't playing either. He was a backup centre-half, and he's got with a muscular problem for an indeterminate period of time. We did get an update from Bruno on Marcel, who said he's had a good week of training, but again, last week, Bruno Lager said that Ryan Aitnori had played himself into the first team spot at left wing back, so we think he's going to continue there as well. We might have missed out, by the way, and when we did Liverpool, we didn't cover.
Oh, sorry,
I'll just quickly rehash that. Yeah, there's nothing to report, really.
Okay, that's probably why I missed it out, because I think it was for like Jack Stevens, and that was it.
Jack Stevens is back in training after, I think, 3 months out or something like that. Mm-hmm. This weekend might come too soon. Stuart Armstrong is the only red flag amongst the group. He's got a calf problem.
Yeah.
And Redmond and Jeanette were back in contention. They missed last week for personal reasons.
Okay. Just to wrap up Wolves as well. I saw I was one of the local journalists that I follow, Ben Ramsdale, who reports on Villa and Wolves. He was saying, quote from the manager at Wolves, saying, "We have one player in the academy. I won't say his name, but I think he's ready for the first team." Mm. Who do you think that could be? I don't know. Someone we don't know of. So there could be a real surprise there.
I'll have to look into it. I don't know if he's appeared on the bench recently, because they have had a few younger players sort of padding out the substitutes bench. So it might be one of those.
Okay.
Kundal, someone like that. But I'd have to look into that.
Okay. Could be a surprise, interesting differential. Someone may have them on their bench. They may come on. Who knows? So something to be aware of. My team, Brighton against Leeds. But let's start with Leeds, really, because people are interested to know when Bamford's ever going to come back, Luke Ayling, and myself, I'm a Rafinha owner. There's plenty of us out there. I think 1 in 5 managers at the moment still Rafinha owners. What is the latest on Leeds ahead of Brighton?
Pretty good after an awful autumn, really, in terms of injuries for them. They've had to be, their bench has been youth products, and then a couple of seniors as well, but looking good. Rafinha's back, which is the main news. Rodrigo's back as well. Shackleton's available. Ayling is injury-free, but he's going to get under 23 game time first. And even Bamford is nearing a return. He's back on the grass. He's in the final stages of his rehab. Mm-hmm. So we should see him pretty shortly.
Yeah, of course, the way Leeds play, very, very pressing, very high tempo. You can't just sort of waddle back from injury. Yeah. You've got to be absolutely tip-top. And I've seen pictures of videos of Bamford in training. He seems fine as a layman, but obviously as an expert fitness person within football, he's a little way off, so we'll have to see when he's back. Could be a great asset.
And in the past, even integral players like Calvin Phillips haven't been rushed back if they've had a lengthy layoff. They've been on the bench first and had to work his way back in, so you're going to expect a couple of benchings, I think, for Bamford initially.
Okay, and my team, Brighton, I never really know who's going to play, but they have been quite settled this season.
Yeah, they have. They have. And I was writing this in the TV news yesterday, because Potter faced the media on Thursday. Mm-hmm. This is when Potter will revert to type, I think, because we've got, 9 game weeks in just over a month. Mm. starting with three in a week coming up next week. So injury wise, Alzati and Welbeck, they're the long term ones. I think that's it. Mwepu's back. He's got a really good chance of recovering. I think Potter even went on to say he's available. It's just game time, how much you can do this weekend. Sanchez is free of suspension, of course. Potter, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt he's going to come back in, but he was, you know, effusive in his praise of both of his goalkeepers, saying that he's got a good, you know, he's got good options with Steele there as well. But you would think Sanchez is going to come straight back in almost certainly.
You never know, because Sanchez, he himself suddenly emerged when Matt Ryan.
But, well, that's true.
I mean, I thought Steele did an admirable job, but yeah, it wasn't like a earth shattering. Gordon Banks style display.
Yeah,
but it was competent. It was good.
It was.
Do we think Neil Mopay will be back up front, or will it still be Trossard false nine?
It's tricky because I've been sort of touting this for a few weeks because he's missed the last three in the league or been benched in the last three. And Brighton are the low scorers now, joint low scorers in the last six game weeks. So they obviously need something to change. They, as Gerrard said last week, they had a lot of possession, but that was the possession that Villa wanted them to have. They weren't actually doing much damage. Trossard had a shot, Lamptey had a chance, but other than that, there wasn't a great deal. So you would think, by logic, he will get a chance again this week. I've predicted it at the start, because I think Trossard as a false nine worked at Liverpool because of the game, and I don't think it's quite been as effective since then when they've had possession. So
quite a few Trossard owners out there, so they're going to. So we think he'll play, but perhaps not. Perhaps up front in a two, or in some kind of other attacking role, whichever Potter deems suits him that particular day. Brentford against Everton. I'll start with Everton first because there have been a number of ongoing long-term injuries and also short-term injuries as well. Likes of Decore, Damari Gray, etc., and of course Calvert-Lewin. So, yeah, what shape are Everton in ahead of their visit to Brentford?
Well, I think they're probably the worst hit team in the entire country, and that's saying something when you've got Leeds and Liverpool as competition. So they've still got Calvert-Lewin out, Mina, Gomez, Davies. They're all injured, suspended. They've got Richarlison and Holgate.
Okay.
Damari Gray was only training individually, doing very light training as of yesterday. So while it's not as serious as what we thought, it's a muscle problem.
Okay.
The fact that he's only doing light training and the run up to the game on Sunday doesn't sound overly optimistic. Alan, I just discovered this morning, there was rumours on the internet during the week that Alan had picked up a muscle problem as well.
Okay.
That wasn't mentioned in the broadcast section, but it's been since been confirmed by the papers.
Right.
Benitez optimistic on him recovering, but he still needs treatment and wouldn't say for sure whether he will recover. One bit of good news amidst all that gloom is Decore is back.
Oh.
And the fact that it was a metatarsal injury, so not a muscle problem. And Benitez was saying you can probably hurry players back a bit sooner because of that, because it's not something you could have a recurrence of, like as you would with the muscle. So I think he may be back in the team this weekend, especially given the dearth of alternatives.
So it sounds like if anyone's got Brentford defenders and indeed attackers, play him on this one, because it doesn't sound like Everton have too much of a defence, and I don't think they have too much of attack. I can't see a goal outside of a Townsend 80 million yard screamer.
Yeah, when Rondon was awful in the games he played earlier in the season. So it's either him or Cenk Tosun, who hasn't played since April. So it's not someone who's in prolific form up top. And then if Gray is missing as well, then that's another blow to them.
Okay. Tony and Bomo, Rico Henry. I've got Fernandez in my team as the Brentford goalkeeper. So there's quite a few of us Brentford owners. How are Brentford for this? They could put him to the sword.
They could, and I'm definitely keeping Tony for this and playing him. They're looking pretty decent in terms of injuries. A couple of long-term ones like David Raya, but Zanka's probably not going to make this. Otherwise, looking good. So Matthias Jensen's back after COVID. Okay. Johan Wisse's back as well from an ankle problem. He's going to be on the bench. And Mads Sorensen as well, who's been out for 3 months. He's a sort of versatile player, but an option at centre-half, where they're really lacking at the moment. So he's been back in training and he's available for selection. Whether or not he goes straight to the starting 11 is a different question, but they're getting players back, because I think we can pretty much agree I know it's a convenient narrative, but injuries do harm a squad who are sort of not very deep. Yes. We've seen it with Sheffield United. Yes. Brilliant first choice 11, and then as soon as they start getting injuries, they haven't got much in reserve. So I think it has had an effect on Brentford.
Okay. Now, Burnley against Spurs. I've got Kane in my side. A few people have. 1 in 10 FPL managers do. Quite a few Son owners there, and a few looking at the Spurs defence. But Conte has come out after their disastrous performance midweek with a great quote when he was interviewed, which said the level of Tottenham is not so high. I think he suddenly realised that they're actually quite poor as a squad.
Yeah.
Did you obviously pick that up as well? And what do you think it indicates?
Yeah, well, I mean, at least it was mostly the reserves who started last night. Mm. There was 9 changes. There was only Kane and I think it was Tanganga who kept the places. So, in a sense, it was good news for the first choice team that they flopped so badly. Mm. But Kane was poor again, aside from his goal, well taken goal.
Yeah.
Just looked a sort of shell of him for myself. Injury wise, Romero looks like he's got a serious problem. He's going to be out for a while. Lo Celso and Scarlett are on the injury list as well, but I think it's less about injuries with Spurs as well as to punt on them for this excellent group of fixtures. Although as I saw someone say on the scout board last night, when do Spurs become a good fixture? Because they're not pulling up any strings at the moment. And it's the form versus fixture question. I mean, I'm thinking of bringing Kane in this weekend because I've got Ronaldo as a sort of 3-week punt, but I can tell you now, from the scout picks perspective, that we did have Kane in originally, but then we've swapped him out for Aubameyang, partly based on last night, but partly for budgetary reasons as well. So we're not collectively putting our faith in Spurs.
I think for game week 13 specifically, Aubameyang would be the better option. But
long
term, we can dream of a Kane haul. I've got my eye on Ronaldo's ready and waiting in a few weeks to come in for Kane.
Yes.
For me. Unless he shapes up, but Conte doesn't seem that impressed so far. The next one is Leicester against Watford. Now this was the one I was waiting on. This has shaped my decisions, players to bring in, players to get rid of. There's some interesting news around Watford who are starting to look quite sharp in attack at the moment.
Yeah, they are in some weeks. Like, they'll hit 5 one week and then a couple of duck eggs after that. You never quite know what you're going to get with them. But sort of stats-wise, Josh King's the best event of all the forwards over the last, is it 5 or 4?
Yes, he is.
Posting some very good numbers. And no word on him in terms of injuries, but there is a big blow in terms of a still pretty fairly well-owned FPL asset. I don't know how many of these are dead teams, but Ismail Assar, who came off last week with a...
Me? I've owned him since the beginning.
I think he's in, and he keeps chipping away. I know he's had a bit of a barren spell, but still over the course of the season, he's done very well. He came off with a knee problem last week. Ranieri initially played it down, thinking he thought he was all right, but an update from the medical department today has ruled him out, and we don't know when he's going to be back either. We don't know if it's going to be short-term or longer. They're still assessing him.
Okay.
He is definitely out. Nkuku as well, the centre-half, he's out as well. They've still got a whole raft of players who are on the injury list. Cabas Searle, just back in training. Ken Semmer, Peter Etebu is still out. Sierra Alta is still out as well. So they've got a lot of players out. Jarish Kutcher is back as well. So he's back from suspension. I probably butchered quite a few names there, but
that's Watford's fault for having about 300 strikers that no one's ever heard of before this season. Speaking of which, Dennis or Denise, as my Scoutcast co-host Andy calls him, Denise will be presumably fit, ready to go. He's looks a good fixture for him.
As far as I'm aware.
Josh King.
Interesting take to pens, by the way. If King's already a good option without penalties, but if Sars injured and missed the last two. King's got scored 10 and 12 at Bournemouth, so could be on pens as well.
Yeah, good record there. And for Leicester, I haven't seen any Leicester news at all. So they played last night.
Once again,
their midweek side did well. How are they doing?
Yeah, you'll often find this with Europa League teams that you don't get injury news reliable on a Friday because it's held over from the night before. We do know that Johnny Evans picked up an injury, which might encourage you regarding King. He should be all right, though. He should be all right. He pulled out of the warm-up with, I think, some tightness in his thigh. So Rodgers obviously didn't want to risk him with the three games in a week coming up in the league. So he's 75% flagged, but I think will be all right. Not all right is Ricardo Pereira. He's out for a few weeks. Same with Tielemans. It's going to be, I think, one or two more weeks for him. So those are the two absentees for Leicester. We've got James Justin on the cusp of return as well. But he's going to get some, I think, under 23 game time first.
One to watch there, definitely. Especially as you know, festive rotation comes in, perhaps he might suddenly emerge in that latter part of December there. And last one, just a team called Manchester City. They're taking on West Ham. This is it's a top of the table clash. But quite a few Foden owners, a bit nervous. And yeah, lots of City assets and West Ham assets around. So what's the latest?
It's deja vu from last Friday. So we've got Foden 75% flagged with a knock. We're not quite sure exactly what that injury is. But Pep, he missed out midweek, as everyone knows, in the Champions League against PSG. Pep's been speaking about him this afternoon. He said that both Foden and Grealish are much better, especially Phil. So he emphasised the fact that Foden was ahead of Grealish. Okay. I still think Grealish is going to miss out. But they've only been training individually. And today was a day off as well because of the midweek Champions League game. So they'll only really assess them tomorrow in training, which will probably be too late for the rest of us in terms of FPL. But it's nothing serious. You know, it's probably just a late call. Pep did say he wouldn't take any risks. So whether or not he's thinking about last week when he played Foden, but maybe he shouldn't have, and then he came off with a presumed problem. I wonder if he'll not risk him again this weekend because they've got another two games coming up very, very soon in the next week. So we'll see. That's just my instinct.
No, I think if I was a Foden owner, I would and I had someone else in mind, I would possibly make that transfer, or at least bench him, because I don't think he's going to play for this one. But you know, the likes of Cancelo, I mean, Cancelo's the main draw really at City at the moment. Nothing on him. He seems fine.
Now, last week I remember talking to Ars and Pep had been talking about Cancelo's recovery powers. Ooh. I think he's one of those, a bit like sort of Sterling and Mahrez, where Pep even said, you know, he can play every 3 days. He's got these quick recovery times, which is what you want to hear at this time of year. He won't play every 3 days. I'm sure he won't. I'm sure there'll be at least one benching within December, where Zinchenko plays maybe over Christmas. But I think for the most part, he'll play. And the fact that we haven't got a Diaz anymore, you know, there isn't really a nailed alternative in that City defence. Diaz has been benched twice this season. So his selling point was that he used a safe starter, and he's not anymore. So that's the reason I got Cancelo last week, and the reason I'll be getting rid of Diaz this week.
And I think I think people want to double up. It's Edison, really. Cancelo and Edison are probably...
Maybe, yeah.
If you just want a security of starts, but obviously you don't get those wonderful attacking returns that you can get from City defenders. And West Ham. Now, Antonio was not even in the squad for midweek, but that was not through injury. That was just his usual midweek rest, I presume.
It was indeed, yeah. Good news on that front. He was just rested for, again, another three-game week. And they've got some tight turnarounds coming. I can point you in the direction of an article I've got on site where it's all about the fixture calendar, and West Ham's schedule is the worst over Christmas. There's a number of recovery periods where they've been dealt a bad hand, starting with 13 to 15. I think it's a Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday turnaround. So it's not great for Antonio, who's got these glass hamstrings. But, thankfully, at least he wasn't risked on Thursday. No. He'd had a full week of rest off. Fabianski was also rested, and I think the only injury they've got is Ogbonna, who's out long term.
Okay, so I mean, that does indicate that perhaps if some people are thinking of moving Antonio on and they were perhaps benching him in this fixture, you might be okay. You might get away with it over December, especially with Bowen continuing to be the key FPL draw in terms of points. I think that's it now. I think we've done all the teams there. Was there anyone we've missed out?
We missed Burnley. I think we were talking about their opponents, but I think the fact that there hasn't really been a big clamour for it in the chat, which tells you everything. Barnes is out with a torn thigh.
Okay.
And Rodriguez and Vidra should be all right. They've got muscle tightness, but other than that, all good.
Okay, so Cornet, Chris Woods. I think that's probably about it, really, for main fantasy interest.
Yeah. I forgot to mention they got two players suspended, Tarkowski being one of them, and Westwood as well. So that's a decent core of their team. So that boost for Kane, possibly boost for Son.
Yes, that was remiss of us not to mention that, because that could be key. Because Spurs, if Conte's attitude to them is correct, they're going to need every bit of help they can have. And facing a team without Tarkowski or Westwood is better for them.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, rightio. Okay, well, thanks so much for that. Thanks so much for all of those who are joining us. More than 1,000 of you. Thank you so much there. If you haven't pressed the like button already, do. But when you're watching the video back, perhaps, and watching mine and Neil's lovely faces to discuss the team news again, do press like that time as well. Obviously, remember to subscribe. And I understand that Fantasy Football Scout is got a bit of a Black Friday Cyber Monday deal at the moment. Am I right in saying it's 20% off membership?
It is indeed, yes. We're back to the sort of pre-season price over the weekend and then into Monday as well. So if you were thinking about snapping it up, then now's the time to do it, because it'll go back to the original price.
Okay, fantasyfootballscout.co.uk is on the screen there, if you forget that, and more details on our social media channels as well. In the meantime, Neil, thanks so much for joining me, and good luck with your game week.
And you too, Joe. Yeah, thanks everyone for watching. Goodbye.